Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. I'm here today with big Cal fan Jared.
I am, also big Cal fan Joe.
No, so big Hoops fan.
Ah, there it is.
We're here today with our resident Celtics fan, Adam Davis. You can find him at @DadVames. We'll have him in the title, we'll have him in the description. Adam, on May 28th, 2014, you tweeted, "Horny for this game right now." Let's talk about that game.
What was the date? I can look up the schedule from that night.
I have it up. So, okay. Obviously, you don't remember. So, true fan you are of the sport. Well, we have May 20th, 2014. That is Miami Heat versus the Pacers. Pacers win 93-90. What was so horny about this?
I couldn't tell you at this point, but it must have been pretty good.
So, Chris Bosh played 41 minutes.
That probably did it.
The sheer endurance of Chris Bosh just made me rock hard.
Probably.
All that stamina just...
You guys remember Mario Chalmers?
Of course.
I could never forget.
He played 35.
The guy that got roasted by Barack Obama? Yeah, I remember him.
And LeBron only played 24.
Ooh, problems in Miami, sounds like.
Yep. Trouble in paradise.
You know, guys, I think LeBron might go back to the Cavs.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean, 24 minutes isn't very many minutes.
That's a terrible enough. Take.
So, Adam, you're a Celtics fan. I think you still are. Or are you?
Yeah, I'm holding on. It's tough being a Boston sports fan.
What happened?
To the Celtics?
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward ruined them by trying to make Daddy's Always Happy a thing that people chanted, and also by doing that terrible commercial.
The
League of Legends.
God, that commercial sucks, dude.
Show anything about the actual game.
No, not at all.
Or Gordon Hayward, it just implies that they are both connected somehow.
It's also like the first thing I think of when I think Gordon Hayward is, oh yeah, he's probably like the only gamer gator in the NBA. And then they make a League of Legends commercial with him, and so it's just reinforcing that over and over.
He's not very self-aware of his brand, I don't think.
No.
Did he get signed by New Balance? Did that thing happen? That was in the works.
Like Anta or something.
Ah, the Klay Thompson brand.
Yeah, or Li Ning or one of them, I don't know.
Full disclosure, I've got a pair of Anta basketball shoes, they're great.
I've honestly been thinking of getting some Klays.
Highly recommend.
Nothing will be better than the Kevin Love 361 degrees. And people saying that was because they were a full circle trash with just 1 degree of trash left over.
Let's see, before we get into the news, I just remembered, have you seen this video of Kyrie in this like balancing thing?
Oh, yes.
Oh my goodness.
Dribbling the two basketballs while standing on two basketballs.
Yeah, and then like leaning to the side.
Yeah.
So this is fake, right?
I think so. It's like, it's a simulation. This whole season has just been a simulation.
This has to be for his shoes, right?
I can't imagine he just does that,
like, regularly. That seems dangerous.
Yeah.
I think it's his training montage. He got so mad at Jamal Murray that, like, this is his scene where he's really, like, beefing up to take him on again to throw the ball even further into the stands next time.
Music playing in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Who's to say that his new shoes don't just have two basketballs on the bottom of them? Like, maybe that's the new wave.
Ooh, Nike should do an ad campaign like with him punting balls into the stands.
Kyrie's gonna be 6'7" in these new shoes.
You guys have any news standing out to you this week? It's been kind of slow.
Yeah, kind of a slow week. I saw a post on Instagram that said if the Grizzlies were still in Vancouver, both Canadian teams would be first in their conferences. Really makes you think.
Yep. We should have just saved that for the thinker.
It'll tide everyone over until next week.
I don't think the Grizzlies are in first place anymore. I believe the Clippers are in first place now, as we all predicted.
It's interesting to think that if the Clippers were in Canada, both Canadian teams would be in first place, though.
That's a great point. That's a great point, Adam.
The Grizzlies are actually playing the Raptors right now.
Are they?
So well, tonight.
Well, then, there you go. Dreams do come true.
If it was 15 years ago, that game would be being played in Canada.
Fultz. There's rumors about Fultz being possibly traded, or he might want to trade a fresh start.
Just like our friend of the show, Ryan Murtha, Fultz wants out of Philadelphia.
Good callback.
Send him to Texas, I guess.
So who would you give up on the Celtics if you had to take Fultz?
If he got to take Fultz.
And why is it Gordon Hayward?
It would probably be Gordon Hayward. No, I would trade Terry Rozier for Markelle Fultz. I might have tweeted that at some point, too long ago. But
that's a spicy one.
I mean, we're not going to keep Rozier after this year anyways, and he's not been good. So if we traded him for a not good guy, I don't know if he even has more potential at this point. But
well, if not being good this year is your barometer, I think almost everyone on the Celtics is available for trade.
Pretty much.
I mean, yeah, and if you want to trade, but without changing too much, maybe still not being that good, I hear the Wizards are looking to blow it up.
Yeah, we could just trade one, we could just switch rosters, and they would both be the two, like, most disappointed teams in the league still.
Everyone stays happy.
Houston would like a word.
Well, this brings us to Houston news of, well, it's more Cavs news, but the Cavs, I think they're still the worst team in the league, beat the Sixers and Rockets on back-to-back nights. Their Sixers win was, I think, the most notable thing about this back-to-back is their bench didn't score at all until halfway through the third.
The Cavs bench?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they still won against
that shows how good CD Osman is. Osman?
Either one.
Doesn't matter.
The new LeBron.
That's right.
And that's kind of all I have for news. I don't know if you guys have anything.
Oh, I've got a little interesting bit of current events from the past week. I was viewing the SportsCenter Top 10 over Thanksgiving, and we got to the number 2 play, and it should have been number 1. Number 1 was the big Karl Towns poster. But number 2 was from Overseas Ball. Point guard, I don't know, whipped a pass to a big man, and it bounced off the big man's head and just went in the basket.
Wow.
That big man was Jordan Mickey. For those of you who don't remember Jordan Mickey... Describe him maybe as Celtics great, Jordan Mickey, LSU great.
That's not the proper way to describe him.
Adam, would you like to start off by describing Jordan Mickey? That's a great point.
He was basically Al Horford, but younger. That's pretty much Jordan Mickey. I actually, until right then when you told me that, thought he was still playing on the Heat or somewhere, just like on the end of a bench. So this was news to me that he did this from overseas.
So Adam is quite possibly, actually, I would be pretty comfortable saying he's the biggest Jordan Mickey fan of all time. If you don't believe me, search his Twitter handle with just Mickey next to it. And the pure volume of tweets is astounding, how much he's thought about him. But I just wanted to run through a few quick ones with this news that he is now scoring baskets with his head. On the note of what Adam said, really want Jordan Mickey to play some. Horford would be a great guy for him to learn from. It was in 2016. Yeah, but, you know, back in 2015.
Has never headed a ball into the basket, so the student has surpassed the master.
I love this one from 2015 where Adam was really bummed that Jordan Mickey was going to be the fourth or fifth big in the rotation. Hopefully he'll be ahead of Olynyk at least, an actually good NBA player.
Yeah, but he was just a bad watch, other than the one game, that one game 7. Sorry to bring that up, Will.
All caps, Jordan Mickey sighting. Just some generic excitement. Jordan Mickey's time to shine in the fourth? I didn't see that game, whatever he's referring to, but I feel comfortable saying it was no. I want Jordan Mickey to get some minutes. I'm still super high on him, and he would be such a great fit defensively.
I actually tweeted
Jordan
that
Mickey
yesterday.
Starting. Woo, this is a god dream. And there's so many more. But I just want to finish it with this one from 2017, over the summer. Jordan Mickey is trending in the U.S. because he got waived, lol. It's been a wild ride with Jordan Mickey.
I mean, I'm surprised he was a big enough player that getting waived made him trending, to be honest.
I mean, it was solely from your
tweets. Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably trending just from your own heartbreak. I did see that play, though. He heads it in by accident and just, like, ran away, like, yeah, meant to do that.
Because
it
he
did. It
was
very much like if the famed wall passed into Gortat's face and just gone in the hoop.
Yeah.
Like, how far away was this point guard from this big man?
Oh, like, point guard played like beyond the arc, point and Mickey's, like, 5 feet from the hoop.
Incredible.
Duke's been trending. I'm not very Duke educated. I believe you guys are more so than me, if you want to start this off.
Yeah. There were lots of takes flying around when Duke was dominating opponents. Could they beat the Cavs? AKA could they beat the worst NBA team? Could the best college team beat the worst NBA team? And Jay Williams, I believe, said yes, pretty like fervently. I think the way he phrased it or categorized it was like this current Cavs team without Kevin Love, you know, without whoever else is hurt. Yes, Duke could beat them in a 7-game series or something like that. He put all these categorizers on it. But I found a take after Gonzaga beat Duke. And it just says, after last night's upset over Duke, people should start paying attention to Rui Hachimura, who is Japanese-born player on Gonzaga, who's had great numbers this year. And then in the description it says, Rui Hachimura is majorly slept on. I barely had a clue about him, honestly, until yesterday's game. He just, like, outed himself as... Yes, I also have slept on this guy, which I thought was funny.
Oh, there was a legit ESPN analyst who, I believe either today or yesterday, said when discussing Nevada, who's currently ranked, I think, 5th in the nation, said, I haven't watched them this year, but that ranking sure is impressive. Duke has been just a wonderful factory for takes so far this year, specifically Zion.
The Zion fan is here.
He's generated such wonderful takes as Zion Williamson is basically the answer to what if LeBron had played in college, except he's more polished than LeBron was at that age. Yeah. Zion has the athleticism of Sean Kemp and more refined skills of young LeBron. So you could say there's a bit of excitement around the guy, but don't tell someone that he's the most exciting college player since Steph Curry, because that got the wonderful take. Steph wasn't exciting in college. Zion is. Really binary, black and white
hard,
on that one.
Hard disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree that Steph was not exciting in college. He very much was. And I watched him destroy the Wisconsin Badgers in the NCAA tournament with very exciting play.
Only reason anyone's heard of Davidson.
What you can
of North
say, though, is that he is far more exciting than LeBron was in college.
It's hard to argue with that.
Who can forget LeBron's great days at Ohio State?
A true star. Admittedly, I don't watch a lot of college ball, but I truly don't believe that any college team could beat any NBA team.
No, absolutely not.
Like, I don't care how good that team is. Not everyone on a college team is going to get into the NBA. Sure, they're good as hell because, like, in comparison to every other college team, they can, like, beat them all. But you're not playing against NBA teams.
And, like, even if every one of the starting five on Duke's team right now gets drafted in the first round, which I think happened or almost happened to Kentucky within the last 5 years or so, like, they're still less than, like, rookies. They're not,
yeah.
They're not developed in the same way that, like, a squad of NBA players would be.
Like, some of the worst guys in the NBA... were some of the best guys in college.
Have you, yeah, when all these people who challenged Brian Scalabrine to like one-on-one, and he was like, yeah, I'll play anyone, and he just crushed them. Like every single person. He held like a one-on-one tournament, and anybody could challenge against him, like games to 11, and I don't think anyone scored more than 5 on him.
I'm very glad you mentioned this, because this will connect to a take I have later.
Carmelo Anthony is still decent in pickup games over the summer, and... we know he is bad.
Carmelo Anthony is bad. That was in my very Stephen A. Smith voice.
Is Carmelo Anthony bad?
What do you think?
Here we are with the soundboard.
I wonder if a college team, like a good college team, would even be able to beat like average G League team. Where like they're still probably not NBA players, but
if they did beat them, it'd be super hard, I think.
I feel like that's a more worthy debate.
They just want to be able to defend. There's no defensive 3 seconds in college. Like, they would have no clue what to do.
Almost any college coach would just be totally lost against an NBA team.
Krzyzewski just over there like, I'm sorry, I was under the impression that I would have LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, all the other teams I coached in NBA rules had a lot more talent than this.
See, is that it for news? We could just take it to takes, I guess.
Let's do it.
All right. I'll start with my take since it connects to Scalabrine in a way.
The White Mamba.
At Coach Jake NBA tweeted this. We'll retweet most of these. They didn't tweet these at us. We just went and found these. But hot take. Any above average height male with at least some basketball experience can have a very good shot at beating an NBA player 1v1. Very few NBA players can consistently beat guys in high school and college, as anyone can heat up and hit a few shots and get some stops. That's
definitely a very hot take.
Yeah.
That is extremely good news for me.
How tall are you, Will?
I am 6'2", which is theoretically above average, as long as he didn't mean above average for NBA players.
So yeah, I think Will could beat anyone in the NBA shorter than him at one-on-one. I think that's what that take is basically saying. Will has a chance to beat Allen Iverson at one-on-one.
This is the most confidence-boosting take I think we've had on this. This is a huge night for me.
There's a tweet a while ago, a couple months ago, I think Joe found it and sent it to us, where it was like, could you beat this guy for $5,000?
Yeah. It was like, I don't think the price is the way that I'm going to beat them. Like, oh, I could beat him for $5,000, but not $1,000.
The stakes make you a better player.
Oh, I mean, at Tyler IM just a couple weeks ago redid his famous could you score on Harrison Barnes like 5 minutes for $100,000 or something, and the results were even more skewed to DS this time. It was so depressing.
You can't score on Harrison Barnes, I'm sorry.
You wouldn't get a shot halfway to the rim.
You wouldn't get yourself halfway to the rim. I mean, that's my big take.
I've got a, speaking of defense, it's a little 1v1 comparison. Chris Martin Palmer, author of some extremely hot takes, actually only hot takes.
Pretty much.
I've never seen a cool take from him. Said today that, in a lot of words, that Steph Curry is a better defender than Kobe Bryant was. And wow.
Must have taken a whole lot of words.
I think his last justification was Steph's better at defending his position than Kobe was at defending his, which is a very specific thing to say. Like, Kobe is overrated at defending shooting guards.
Which still is, like, not true, probably. So.
But, and while it's always fuck Kobe around these parts, that's not necessary or true. There's other ways we can attack. But it reminded me just, like, Steph, since he is good at defense and like the really casual fan usually thinks he isn't, every couple of years we get just a wild take, way overrating him. And this to me was the reincarnation of the Ethan Sherwood Strauss take, which was, are we sure Steph isn't better at defense than CP3? They're just like, yes, we're sure.
We're pretty sure, that's why we weren't mentioning it.
No one's talking about this.
There's a reason. I've got another Steph-related take, actually. It just says, if Steph Curry doesn't stay healthy come playoff time, there is no team stopping the Lakers from winning a championship.
That would be a great tweet if it was the same thing verbatim, except just, there are only 15 teams stopping the Lakers from winning
a championship. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, half the league.
I'm going to go on a limb and say the Lakers are stopping the Lakers from winning a championship.
That's obstacle number one.
Yeah.
Not being in the playoffs is stopping the Lakers from winning a championship.
I think I've said this in a Twitter DM before, but having Lance Stephenson on your team is like having a puppy. Like, he's going to do some fun things, and he's exciting to watch, but every once in a while, he's going to shit on the floor. Those are things you have to deal with.
I love watching Lance.
Oh, I do too. He's so fun.
Oh my gosh.
I remember last season with the Pacers, he like dribbled down and just like fell. Like no one was guarding him. He just like did one of those like hop step dribbles and fell right down. And then like kind of kept his dribble, but like turned it over immediately. It was so funny.
Lance like flops off of himself.
He was like a borderline, like almost all-star for like a year or two in Indiana. And that's just so hard to process now.
Is that harder or easier to process than the fact that Roy Hibbert actually was an all-star?
Where is Roy?
He's out of the league.
He's retired.
He is waiting around the deserted set of Parks and Rec, hoping for one last cameo.
Former Bucks great Roy Hibbert. No, oh man, when Roy Hibbert got traded to the Bucks for Miles Plumlee, both of those guys had cameos in Parks and Rec, and they got traded for each other, and it's one of the funniest like little tidbits of information ever. I remember there was an article by a Milwaukee publication that said, like, guy with credited cameo in Parks and Rec gets traded for guy with uncredited cameo in Parks and Rec.
Well, I hope they had to include a draft pick to make up for that difference.
Would Lance Stephen be the worst all-star of all time?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like that's the, like, if the Grizzlies played in Canada, they would be in first place and be in Canada. Like,
if I make the all-star team this year, I'd be the worst all-star.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know. I bet there's been worse all-stars.
Who?
I remember people wanted him to, but did Kyle Korver make the all-star team league that
year? He did. He did.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably my answer.
That whole, like, give the entire Hawks team credit. Like, when they all won player of the month, the starting five, that was the stupidest
thing yeah.
ever.
I loved that team, and that was the dumbest thing of all time.
I'm gonna be honest, I have a Jeff Teague Hawks t-shirt.
Ooh.
Why?
It was at Ross. It was $5. When it's $5, I'm like, yeah, Teague's pretty good. I like him now.
Now I like him. Asking why. Thanks for the cheap t-shirt.
Updated with a Jeff Teague Wolves shirt.
It's not $5 at Ross.
Hey, Jared, if you see a Boogie Cousins Kings t-shirt, or Pelicans t-shirt for that matter, hook me up.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, thanks.
I've been in the market for a Kevin Durant Thunder jersey for years now.
Will, can I tell you something?
It can't be that hard to find.
It was hard to find in, like, not XL.
Oh.
Will, can I tell you something? I have a Kevin Durant Sonics jersey.
Oh, man. Silver and bronze and gold is a Kevin Durant Wizards jersey.
Yeah, my sister got it for me for Christmas after the Sonics were the Thunder. So, like, the Sonics jerseys were just, like, at Marshall's for $20 or something. And I collected jerseys from thrift stores and other places in high school. And still do, really. But, yeah, she was like, here you go. I don't know if you like him or not, but it was cheap. And I was like, great. Thank you so much.
The most excited I ever was to buy a jersey was Adam shared the information with me and the rest of Twitter, which was right after Evan Turner got traded from the Celtics, or maybe signed in free agency. Yeah, signed in free agency. Celtics made on their team store Evan Turner jerseys cost $5.
Damn.
And I was like, wow. Absolutely, I'm so in. And they sold out in like 2 minutes.
I didn't even buy one. I should have bought one to go with my.
I tried. They were
Ohio
already gone.
State legend Jared Sullinger Celtics jersey.
Speaking of Jared Sullinger, I've got a couple retro tweets, one of them involving Jared Sullinger, if we want to dive right into that. Okay. Celtics great, Jared Sullinger. It's from Twitter. It was tweeted in December of 2014, and it says, I remember last year when people said Drummond has a better future than Sullinger, with a sleeping emoji. This is referring to Andre Drummond, who is currently playing in the NBA, and Jared Sullinger, who is currently not playing in the NBA.
Sleeping.
Everyone's it also sleeping has a side-by-side of their stats at the time. At this point in the season, Jared Sullinger was averaging 16.4 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.7 assists. And Drummond was averaging 10.5 points, 11.9 rebounds, and 0.4 assists.
December 18th, 2013, Jared Sullinger, I love you, all caps, Adam Davis.
It's still true to this day.
He's playing in China and apparently dominating now.
He has that going for him, and Andre Drummond doesn't. So I'd say that original take might be accurate.
Yeah, brighter future could be looked at in a number of different ways. Like maybe Andre Drummond wants to go to China someday.
Maybe
Jared Sullinger's already doing it.
The world, but he just can't because he has to play 82 NBA games a season.
Jared Sullinger has a child, loves his parents. I don't know if we can say the same thing about Andre Drummond.
Nobody talks about this.
Man, you got a lot of Jared tweets.
I really like Jared Sullinger. I like the
Ohio. I mean, I think second only to Jordan Mickey in the like. And maybe Yabusele's up there too, for sure. Adam, I love that your type of Celtic that you like is like the like undersized heavy set power forward on the Celtics. That's my
Bass
favorite.
Fan. Big Brandon Bass fan, so that's true.
Big Brandon Bass fan, that's right.
You have to specify which part of them you mean when you say they're undersized, because it might not be true.
I like this tweet from 2016. Wearing my throwback Sullinger jersey. He was on the team until today, but it's still a throwback, and I will not be convinced otherwise.
Pretty sure that's how it works, so.
I'm all for Sullinger coming back as long as he doesn't play. That's the best one. I don't need to search anymore. Good old Jared Sullinger. One day he'll be better than Drummond. And by that I mean he'll be putting up better stats in China than Drummond does in the NBA.
I'm sure Jared Sullinger is just dominating over in China.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like how Jimmer is like the best scorer out there. I was disappointed you didn't have any Jimmer Fredette tweets that I could find that were interesting.
Yeah, I was never that into Jimmer mania.
Jimmer wasn't thick enough.
The thick boys.
Since we mentioned him earlier, I really enjoyed this one. Just simple, to the point, and a provoking question. Is Carmelo Anthony getting the same treatment as Colin Kaepernick?
I'm listening.
So is our author. That's all they had. They're listening for a convincing response.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
The safe answer.
He's still technically on the Rockets. Have they got rid of him yet?
No, he's technically still on the roster.
So that would be step one, and he's not getting the same treatment as Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
He is currently on a team.
My normal brain is saying no, but my galaxy brain is saying yes.
I'm having fun imagining, like, if a major brand, like, signed, like, if Carmelo wasn't signed to a brand and then Nike signed him, people just protesting in the streets just because he's bad.
Burning his jersey while they're wearing it.
Guess I'll never wear these Nikes again. They signed Melo, and he stinks.
Getting custom jerseys made because the team doesn't, like, make them yet. And then burning them. Yeah. I have always respected that about Carmelo, though, because like he's really outspoken.
Yeah, he deserves credit for that. He's like kind of just become a joke, but
yeah,
I feel bad. I really do like him as a person.
Yeah,
I vividly remember thinking when that draft with LeBron and Carmelo and Dwayne Wade. I think it was 2003. When that draft class was coming up, my like 12-year-old self was like, this is going to be just like the Michael Jordan draft class. The LeBron's going to be like Hakeem Olajuwon, like Hall of Famer, great player. But and then the second pick is Darko, who's just going to suck. And then the third pick is Carmelo Anthony, and he's going to be, like, as good as Michael Jordan. He's going to be amazing. And I was not right, but I mean, stand by
there's it. There's still time. He's still on the team. There's still time.
Let's get a 12-year-old Joe on the pod.
Oh, man. No, what's please. Too busy drinking red Gatorade and getting a huge red stain above my lips.
It seems very unfair to Melo, though, because if we'd had social media a little bit earlier, then he would have been guaranteed legend status forever for the stop snitching video.
Oh, and definitely.
Now he's just a joke.
It's getting kind of sad.
It's what T-Mac wants. T-Mac did basically the same thing, though. Like, mid-30s, kind of just, like, faded away. Retired. Yeah. Hall of Famer. Like, oh, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. I think I posed the question to, like, maybe, but yeah, he definitely is. I'm trying to pinpoint the player, like, which player on the spectrum is, like, the most hotly debated. And it might be Dwight Howard, but I'm not sure.
I agree.
Dwight is going to get in no matter what, too, though, so.
That's how I feel, too, but there's a lot of people that feel strongly not. What about
a theme of like people that like players that people just don't like?
Yeah, that might be it.
People don't like Dwight.
I made a short list of players that are maybe on the back end of their careers and would they be Hall of Famers? Mark Gasol.
He's had a pretty good career.
He probably has a bunch of like overseas,
yeah, a lot of like Spain,
national stuff, silver too, medals. So I would think he gets in.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Okay. Vince Carter. He's a no-brainer to me. But yeah, I don't know if I'm just blindly, like, he's my, like, one of my favorite players ever.
No, his late career saved him. He'll be in. People like him now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a safe one.
Andre Iguodala.
I will fight to the death on yes.
Yeah, me too. I love Andre. I mean, but
I
there
don't
it is.
I think he will get in. But I think he maybe should.
Yeah.
He will be my Sean Marion, my Ben Wallace, where I will be mad forever at how little people value defense.
Hey, he is a finals MVP.
There you go.
So there's that.
That is true. Zach Randolph.
I wish.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. J.R. Smith.
Oh, 100%. No.
All right. I'll see if I can come up with any other players in coming weeks. But
I'll tell you two that are going to make people mad when they do get in.
Okay.
There are going to be a fairly large amount of people who are upset when both Draymond and Kyrie go into the Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
And they should just start preparing themselves for it now. No one should be upset. It's very obviously going to happen, but it's going to make some people very mad.
I feel like people are already upset.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought of another one. Jamal Crawford.
If we could,
it's a hard one.
Just put his crossover in, I would do that.
Yeah. Jamal can be in the Pro-Am Hall of Fame.
I like it.
Imagine if they put Jamal in and then didn't put in the guy who deserved every Sixth Man of the Year award that Jamal got. When they leave Iggy out.
Yeah, I feel like Crawford and Iggy are kind of on the same plane.
I will also be upset. Like, people have already forgotten like how good Iggy was when he was in his actual peak.
Oh,
and then never mind that he's been a stud on the Warriors for years and a key piece to the greatest team ever. I think mm-hmm. it's so, to me.
But he's like, literally the sixth best player on that team. So it's like, but he'd be the second or third best player on any other team.
Yeah. I mean, some of it's like the Manu thing where like Iggy would have been starting if they were starting their five best players all those years. And but, on the 73-9 team, he was the fourth best player, which doesn't sound amazing, but the other three were Draymond and the two best shooters of all time.
Yeah. And he was key.
Yeah, like, he was what unlocked the team.
And he's like, I mean, he started, like, some key games last season in the playoffs.
Yeah, he still got it in stretches. He's clearly older, but
yeah,
there's a switch to flip.
This brings me to a hot take I have from Christopher Jones at CCJones13. Hot take: JJ Barea is the best backup point guard in the NBA.
He's just like consistently good. Like, that's not, the take is not true, but I feel like every year he's like the same exact thing.
Yeah.
I'm in one group DM full of people who are just furious at Rick Carlisle for giving the ball to JJ Barea too much and not enough to Luka Doncic.
That take sounds like Matthew Dellavedova slander to me.
Who is the best backup point guard right now?
Barea just dropped 20-8 on the Celtics like a few days ago, so.
Yeah, too bad the Mavericks aren't in the NBA. They're in the G League. We're talking big boys here.
Jared, we talked about this.
I'm sorry.
Then Trey Burke dropped like 28 on us off the bench, so I guess the best backup point guard in the league is just whoever is playing the Celtics on that night.
There we go. We figured it out.
Glad we solved that.
Last year I would have said Terry.
Yeah.
But not this year.
He didn't really come into like his own until he was starting, though.
That's true.
Like, most of the year on the bench he was not the player he was in the playoffs.
That's very true.
Dennis Schroeder?
I thought he's starting. Or no, he is the six, huh?
Yeah, he's probably up there.
Yeah, I'd put him up there for sure.
But
Corey Joseph's still doing his thing in Indiana.
Oh, yeah. He's up there.
Everybody loves Sean Livingston.
Sean's great. He's not getting as many minutes, but I guess he's also been hurt. He's so great the last few years.
Oh, it's Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, that's... He's got to be in the top two or three, for sure. True.
I'm so constantly, like, amazed that Sean Livingston can, like, walk. So I think, like, that might affect me being like, yeah, he's great. But, like, every time I think of that injury, that's got to be, like, the greatest injury comeback, if not one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up there. From, like, gruesome injury to quality of comeback, like the gap between those two things.
I mean, they almost had to amputate.
There are like so many, like, apparently, I know this is another sport, but somehow like Teddy Bridgewater is still good at playing quarterback, and he almost died from his leg injury.
That's crazy.
But the one that really confuses me is like Paul George didn't change at all.
No.
Like I just forget his even happened.
Yeah.
Well, when he
I was just reminded of it right
year.
Now.
He was pretty bad at the end of his first year back, so, like, I feel like if he had had, like, a full season afterwards, like we're seeing with Gordon Hayward, and not, like, an off season, he might have looked worse for a while, but...
That makes sense.
That's true, that's fair.
I'm just trying to talk myself into Gordon Hayward being good again.
I was going to ask, you've been looking up exactly how long it took him to come back.
Crazy that, like, PG, just physically, just like, he hasn't lost a thing, it doesn't seem like.
He's, like, still as quick and everything, like.
I'd be so scared to do anything.
Yeah, you have to, like, retrain yourself to jump.
Yeah, I remember, like, I think Gordon Hayward talked about, like, just constantly seeing a sports psychologist and just, like, ton of mental therapy.
That is one of the things that really impressed me about Curry, is with all the ankle injuries that he like totally learned a new method of running and jumping.
Right. And it's like, it's helped him. Like, I think it's improved like his shot.
One of like the worst injuries as far as like just quick comeback, it wasn't as gruesome, but Jaylen Brown, when he fell last year and like everyone went silent. He was like, people were like, he might be like paralyzed. And then he just like got up and walked off after like minutes on the ground.
Oh yeah.
That was terrifying.
They shouldn't have let him walk away.
Yeah.
That and Pat McCaw, who was screaming in pain for minutes.
He's like instantly squirming on the floor.
Yeah.
I remember Vince Carter felt so bad.
And then both of them were just kind of like, oh, it wasn't as bad as we thought originally.
Yeah, that was bad.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, like, he's fine, I guess. But I remember there's an interview over summer and he was saying, like, he's, like, still couldn't, like, sleep at night because of the pain.
Goodness.
Like, while he's still, like, he has 100% movement and everything, he's like, no, it's just pain constantly.
Have you ever bruised your tailbone?
Yes, I have.
It sucks.
That's a long lasting feeling. How'd you hurt your tailbone?
I played football in 7th and 8th grade, and I, at some point, bruised it during that. And it was like, months of, like, noticeable pain.
It haunts.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally bruise my tailbone, I'll finally be promoted to a full co-host on the podcast.
You'll get your tailbone badge on your sash.
How did I hurt my tailbone? Oh, I was skateboarding. I slipped on a rail trying to grind on it.
Slammed right down. The coolest way to hurt yourself.
It did not look cool. It did not look cool at all.
As I recall, I was smoking a cigarette and talking to three babes while I was grinding. And then one of them flashed me, and it was just so hot I fell off my board.
I had to take off my leather jacket. Should we get into some more Adam tweets?
I'd love
yes.
to.
Yes. Yeah, we got over horny for this game right now. We do have Jordan Crawford over Jamal Crawford.
Ooh.
I'm in full favor of that one.
Yeah.
I saw an old take from, I think, 2011 that said, John Wall, Andre Blatch, and Jordan Crawford are a new big three for the Wizards.
They had two of them right. It's Blatch's fault. For any listeners, if you've never done yourself the pleasure of watching the Jordan Crawford, Jacob Pullen duel in the NCAA tournament, I think it's round of 32, Kansas State and Xavier, it is, just Google it, watch it, it is so fun. I think I can confidently say the only thing that Celtics, and there's only two things Celtics and Wizards fan can agree on. One of them is hating the Wizards. And is full-on support for Steez at all times.
Oh, yeah. He was so much fun to watch, and I'm still not entirely sure what happened in those, like, maybe 1 month where he was just fantastic for the Celtics and then just disappeared again. He won, like, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, didn't he?
Fully believe that. Any team who's ever had Jordan Crawford on it loves him. They just... If you love someone, let him go.
If you love someone, let him hop teams.
If you love someone, let him play in China.
Let's see. Here's one. This, Joe, I'm going to direct this one towards you.
Okay.
This is from 2014 from Adam. At Bucks. Oh, hey, I didn't see you there. The Milwaukee Bucks. I was just polishing my third grade basketball trophy. Second place. Draft me.
2014. This is probably a low point in the Bucks' history, if I remember correctly.
That was when they would bring someone on the team that could win in a one-on-one.
All right, Joe, let's paint the picture. You've got Adam. This is 2014, so he's probably just starting his rookie extension. Would you include him in the package for Anthony Davis?
What a great callback.
You guys drafted Jabari Parker, so I'm not sure how much better you really did.
Hey, Jabari.
Adam, what are your thoughts on playing defense?
I don't get paid to play defense.
Spoken like one of the greats. At what point in 2014 was this? Because in 2013-2014, that was the year we went 15-67.
I think it was late.
Okay. That would make sense, because probably you were referencing, like, oh, the Bucks are going to have, like, a pretty high draft pick. Yeah. They should draft me. Yeah, I remember that year because I committed that year, like, right before the season started. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch, like, every Bucks game this year. And I think I made it 10 games, and I was like, I can't do it.
You picked the worst season
possible. I really did. It was so bad. Like, I think our second best player was Caron Butler. It was just terrible. We did have Giannis, but he was a rookie, and he would show, like, flashes, but was not great. I'm looking at the roster now. Our best player, I want to say our best player was Brandon Knight at the time. Like,
there's one beautiful thing here, champion. And that's our second best player being Caron Butler describes the probably most fun Wizards era of my life.
Well, Caron Butler was good back then, or at least, like, serviceable. Yeah, man. I think our starting lineup was Brandon Knight, OJ Mayo, Caron Butler, Ersan Ilyasova, and Zaza Pachulia. Or maybe Larry Sanders. We had Larry Sanders at this time.
Oh, Larry. Good old Larry Sanders.
But, like, Nate Walters got starting minutes as a rookie. Gary Neal was playing for us.
Yes.
Chris Middleton was in his second season, but not great. John Henson was in his second season, but not great. I don't know. It was just a depressing time, really.
I would do crimes for a OJ Mayo Bucks jersey.
Would you want 00 or 3? Because he wore both numbers.
Ooh.
I think I'd want double zero.
Yeah, I want double zero.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty excited when we got him. I remember. I was like, he was like a top 3 pick. Like, he's got to be solid. And he wasn't terrible, but he never really amounted to much.
Do you remember the Sports Illustrated cover that was him and Kevin Love when they were entering college?
No.
That was a big moment. They were both like absolute top recruits. And it's OJ at USC, Kevin Love at UCLA. So it was like all about like, these guys are going to like make LA matter. And I just, that's always in the back of my head when I think about how like OJ's career went.
I read the other day he's trying to get back in the league.
Yeah, I saw that.
You and me both, OJ. You and me both.
I got another Adam tweet. This might be a favorite of mine. March 2015. Here's a hot take coming from a guy who is calling for Scott Brooks to be fired for a while. I think the T-Wolves should hire Scott Brooks. Do you think that holds up today?
I mean, Tibbs hasn't worked out, and the Wizards hate each other, so it probably would have worked out the same way as far as, like, Jimmy Butler and everyone hating each other. Mm. I don't know if it would have been any worse.
I really enjoyed seeing that Robert Covington played, like, was it 42 minutes in his first game for the Wolves?
Everyone should have seen that coming.
He's like, yeah. Like that's not surprising.
The ground.
Robert Covington just had a game where he went like 1 of 21 from the field and was a plus 11.
That's amazing.
That was the game where Wiggins also went like 0 for 17 or something ridiculous from the field. That Wiggins had one rebound, one assist in that game, and no other positive stats. And somebody tweeted a highlight video of like in that Dawkins style where it's like Andrew Wiggins highlights, one assist, one rebound, and it's like 15 seconds long. It shows the assist.
Do you think we'll have more games like that? Because I kind of think so.
Absolutely,
Wiggins is amazing that way.
He's no Tony Snell, but
that's Tony Snell's probably my favorite game like that.
Zeros across the board in like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Truly where amazing happens.
That's so hard because like you might get an assist by accident, like just moving the ball along.
Yeah, you have to like try to get zeros.
Like one rebound doesn't bounce in your general vicinity the entire game.
I feel like maybe all game, whenever it comes his way, he would like flinch, kind of like Horford style.
The Horford flinch. The thing when Horford tried to like explain that like I do that to like try and lighten the mood and like show my teammates it's not all that serious, and he tried to like explain his way out of it, and it was very clearly just yes.
You like walk in the locker room, end of the game. Yeah, fellas, I missed the game winner. Just thought it would be a lighten the mood type deal. Y'all looked pretty tense out there, so I was like, what if I airball this like sideways?
What if I Joakim Noah this free throw real quick?
Eliminated from the playoffs, and on the way into the locker room, he trips. It's like, I'll just turn that into a light jog.
That was basically J.R. Smith after they lost in the finals, and then he had to, like, sad hoverboard out of the locker room.
What's going to happen with J.R.? Because I know they're, like, trying to trade him.
I think some team's going to need a shooter at some point. Like,
yeah, but Lakers. Not for like $16 million or whatever he's getting paid.
That's true. He's a lot of money.
Some team is going to like allow him to be traded to them, and then they'll buy him out like they did with Dwight Howard and the Nets. Somebody will do it, and the Cavs will give him like a couple second round picks or something with it. and they'll just buy him out.
That's my thoughts. Post buyout, he's going to end up on the Wizards.
I hope so.
The Wizards could use a stabilizing force at this time, so.
The Wizards are going to relocate the Cavs minus LeBron.
But they've already, we've discussed this, they've already got LeBron in Jeff Green.
Yeah.
They have the most important part.
But then who's going to be their Jeff Green if Jeff Green is LeBron?
Mello.
God damn it.
Don't you put that on me.
Don't speak that into existence. We have won like 2 games in a row.
Is that for real?
We definitely have won. I think it's won, but I decided to semi-check out of this team for the near future for the whole mental health deal.
Okay. Wow.
So
who are you watching now then?
Competent NBA teams, it's wild.
Oh. Okay. Like the Clippers?
I forget about those sometimes. Yeah, the Wizards have beaten the Pelicans and the Rockets.
Wow.
Well, that's 2 games.
Really channeling their inner Cavs.
Stepping up in a big way.
We're all thinking it, I'll say it. Could Duke beat the Rockets?
Yes.
100%.
I could beat James Harden in a one-on-one.
Anyone can get hot.
Yeah.
And get some stops.
I don't think that's my favorite part. I don't think it's remotely true that anyone can get some stops.
I mean, did Isaiah Thomas ever get more than 3 stops?
No, not in his career.
I mean, like, I respect that he tries. I feel like he does what he can, but he can't.
Adam, does he play for the Nuggets? Like, minutes?
I don't think he's come back yet.
Yeah, he's still out.
Or whatever.
Sometimes I'm like, maybe he's on the court right now and he's just so small I can't see him. But
they just let him on the court before the game with his son.
Aww.
And then they're like, get out of here.
It's basically what happened with his tenure with the Cavs.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. He's like, oh, LeBron is my son's favorite player. This is great. And then they're just like, wait, we don't like you, actually.
He's like, oh, can I play on the court during the game? They're like, oh, we need to trade you now. He's realized. The Nuggets are beating the Lakers right now.
Heck yeah.
Adam, what was the bet you had that required you to end up buying a Paul Pierce Clippers jersey?
What was that? I'm sure if I search my Twitter, I could find it.
Like the absolute worst garment in your mind at the time, and maybe
it
still?
It might have been Karl Anthony Towns winning Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, you said, I'll take the field. That was a pretty safe bet.
I managed to be horribly wrong.
Well, if we look at the other side of that kind of bet, we have Joe's Rookie of the Year bet.
Oh yeah, I took the field against Dennis Smith.
You last took Dennis year. Smith against the field.
yeah, that's what. Yes, I took Dennis Smith against the field.
We have 2 people on this podcast who have to eat the Terry Rozier sandwich.
We really should have arranged that to do that live. That should have been what we did today.
Next time he's on.
Adam. When we have you back, we'll both eat the Rozier.
Also, let's take this moment to explain the sandwich.
That bet.
Yeah, I don't even know. I know it's spaghetti and ranch. Is that right?
It's a lot of sugar.
It's white bread with spaghetti, ranch, and a lot of sugar. Yeah.
That's the Rozier, and
why?
So
why is that
Adam and I have both lost bets that require us to eat the Rozier, and we'll do it live.
I lost this bet betting on Joe's Bucks, so.
Oh yeah, would you guarantee a top 3 seed for them last year or something like that?
I think so.
I could have told you that wasn't going to happen, Adam. I tried to warn you.
This sandwich sounds so disgusting. I'm so ready for this.
I'm willing to try it. I'm curious. At the most, I'm curious about it. I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to it, but I'm curious that this would be someone's favorite sandwich. So it can't be that bad.
Is this Rozier's favorite sandwich?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said it was his favorite food in like a post or pre-draft interview or something like that.
What?
Yeah.
The fact that he fell as far as he did in the draft is mind-boggling.
I'd like to take this moment to remove Terry Rozier off my All Suns team.
That's another topic we got to dive into. The Suns, Sons.
Let's do that next episode.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
The All Suns episode.
Yeah, all my sons.
All my good sons. before we get into the ending thinker, something that has popped up in my mind as we keep talking about all-stars and such, especially who would be the worst all-star, is I'd like to bring up one of my favorite pieces of NBA news to go trending on Twitter. I'm going to search for it right now so I can get word for word.
Well, while you're searching, tweet. Jared, I just want to throw out one more retro take.
Yes.
From Yahoo Answers. This comes from the year 2010. And the question is, poll, who is your favorite NBA team? Mine is the Boston Celtics. And our best answer...
right now.
Yeah. Our best answer, I'm going to back up from the mic a little bit, because I think I have to yell it. It says, Boston Celtics, biatch, ha 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 ha, I was born in Boston, smiley face. I used to go to every game, then I moved. Boo! Thank you, Rebecca, Adam, thank you from Yahoo Answers.
Joe, that's too hot for this podcast.
Other answers, Lakers, Chicago Bulls, go Lakers, although my second team's the Celtics. Okay, come on, that's sacrilegious, I think.
That's illegal.
The team that is going to get another three-peat. Boo, Lakers, haha. None, I am not fond of watching basketball games. I like football.
That's the best answer.
T-Wolves, we will make it to the playoffs again one day. Celtics, yeah, Heat. Celtics, Heat, Phoenix, Nuggets, and Magic, and Mavericks.
No Warriors?
No Warriors.
No, there were a ton of Warriors fans in there. They all said Lakers.
I've got this tweet up. You three are going to know this because we all share a few basketball Twitter chats, and I like to share this a lot. We all do. Just this tweet out of context. Well, because it's on context, but this is a tweet from Miles Miller. So this broke last year. Breaking, NBA star Sebastian Telfair arrested in BK with semi-automatic gun, loaded guns, loads of ammunition, and marijuana. This is my favorite piece of basketball news because it's just NBA star Sebastian Telfair.
There's nothing better than non-sports people like having to describe an athlete in their headline.
If he's in the league, he must be a star.
I think I have a tweet out there that says something like, wakes up from a 15-year coma. How many MVPs did Sebastian Telfair win?
Do you know he was a star?
I do now.
But the thing I love about this breaking news are the replies. One with it says NBA star in quotes with the picture of, is the ad for Charles Barkley's TNT show. It says, we're going to start a dialogue. And then just replies after reply of the same NBA star, NBA star, NBA star, NBA star. Wow, this goes on.
Really? That was a great post for Sebastian. It really kind of took some of the attention off of the crime charges.
Yeah, I think that might have revitalized his career.
He could always look to De'Aaron Fox to have a career renaissance. Here's,
that's right.
Here's a reply. Come on, he was a passer, not a shooter. So that's the news. Does anyone have any ending thoughts for this sweet episode?
Oh, isn't this where we have to tell people, since we're on iTunes now, that they need to give us a 5-star rating?
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
We don't are. Deserve it, folks. But
we are fully online.
It. So go ahead and throw the maximum number of stars on there.
Give us a 5-star review and then show us that you did it with a take that you'd like us to read.
Yeah, yes. Send us your takes.
Where? You can send us... you can send us your takes too at Untitled Hot Take.
And those are takes you find online, maybe takes you have yourself that you're too afraid to post online, but are willing to post in our DMs.
We can keep you
unnamed.
If you do find them online, do send a full link or screenshot. We do like to, you know, make sure people get the right credit when stuff like that.
Go ahead and give us 5 Sebastian Telfairs.
Yes. And along with Apple Podcasts, we are also on Spotify. We are on Radio Public. We should be on iHeart this week. We should be on Deezer this week. We should be on Castbox this week. And
are you making up words?
No, this I'm going through our official list on our host page.
Oh.
And TuneIn, I believe, will be on TuneIn tomorrow, which would be the 28th. But yeah, we are on many different platforms now. And if you wanted to listen to our first two episodes, which are not on these platforms, you can find us under the same title on SoundCloud.
The same untitle.
And you can find all of Adam's horny basketball tweets at...
They're mostly just sad basketball tweets now.
Yeah.
You can definitely still be sad horny.
That's true.
We do have your pinned tweet, which is so good. You'll know you're on the right page if you go to his page. It's at DAADVAIMS. His pinned tweet is the new Isaiah Thomas logo proposal. You'll know you're in the right place. Follow him. A lot of Celtics tweets. A lot of other NBA tweets. Wow, the Celtics are bad.
You'll also probably know it because if you're listening to this, it's probably because Adam retweeted it and you already follow him. But
yeah, that's also true. Adam, please retweet this.
You said I was going to retweet this.
Adam, please.
When the check clears.
When Kyrie Irving comes on the show, Adam will retweet this episode.
Yes.
As is tradition.
And we will have a name then.
That's right.
All right. Shall I take this away with our ending thinker?
Yes, please.
Sounds good.
All right. Something to ponder upon for next week till our next episode. I found the most ridiculous tweet I can. Context not necessary. This also doesn't mean we agree with it. Hot take. Oh, this is from Jacob. The Jacob. Hot take alert. Melo is the Hillary of the NBA. Carmelo and Hillary both get way more slander than they deserve. I'm not saying they don't deserve any, just more than necessary. And that's our thinker of the week.
It's definitely a thinker.
It's definitely something to think about.
I couldn't stop thinking about it since I read it.
Stephen A., what do you think? What do you think? No, I asked you. Stephen. All right. Anyway.
All right, well, that's our show. Thanks for listening. We will hopefully see you next week.